Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Andrew McKenna from TalkSport. We're out in Sri Lanka covering the England cricket tour. As well as exclusive live ball-by-ball coverage of the Test series, TalkSport are also giving you a podcast. It's published daily, it's called Following On, and covers all the news and views around the tour. It's full of player interviews, reaction and analysis from TalkSport's team of experts, including Darren Goff, Jared Kimber and Matt Prior. Oh yeah, and also some of me. We'll be rounding up each day of action from the Test matches, plus the news from all the other days on tour. You can subscribe now by going to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favourite podcast app. Search for the Following On Cricket Podcast. Subscribe now and never miss a show.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily podcast, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. It was a special day today on TalkSport, wasn't it?
We should have really introduced this by saying, I'm Wayne Hawksby and I'm Wayne Jacobs.
Yeah, we should, but I think the moment's gone there, really, isn't it? Do you want to do that? Let's do it. Anyway, we keep it in. Hi, I'm Wayne Hawksby.
And I'm Wayne Jacobs.
Yeah. That was worth it. And it was a Wayne Rooney special. And we were joined by Mike Parry, Wayne's official unofficial biographer. But he was very entertaining, Mike, wasn't he? Rooney memorabilia. Some of it obvious, some of it not.
No.
And of course, he did write Rooney Tunes, the fantastic book. We had a copy of that. Roy Walker. Not Mike Walker, the old Norwich manager.
And Everton.
He's called Mike.
He was at Everton.
Yeah, he was at Everton, that's true. Roy Walker came in and we played Catchphrase on the radio, a sporting version.
Yes.
That was fun.
And featuring possibly Mike. I did some songs with Mike.
Yeah, Andy sang. Yeah. Oh, we've got to put Andy. Can we dot Andy's songs around? So in case it won't make any sense, Andy has sung some of these little ditties and he did a new one. So, here it all is. Enjoy. Happy Wayne Rooney Day, Andy.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And
how are we marking? I might go and find Graham Poll and swear repeatedly in his face, and your missus can go on 5 holidays.
Yeah, exactly. The thing about Wayne Rooney, I used to love watching him live, especially when for United. He really was a wonderful player. There's no question about it. I've had a bit of a debate with Adrian this morning. I do think that, you know, his England career, I think, has been slightly overshadowed by the fact that, you know, the England teams he played in were pretty poor, really. Mm. You know, in tournaments and, yeah, they qualified, but, you know, they were massive disappointment, weren't they? 2006, 2010, 2014. Yeah. You can't
2004, he was great in the Euros.
Yeah, he was
great. Kind of ended badly, but he was fantastic in that. That's what we thought the marker would be, but for various reasons, injury included, loss of form, not
various
good side,
things,
bad results.
But you can never deny that he was a wonderful player.
That's, no,
that
not
is
at all.
Absolutely sure.
Absolutely fantastic.
Talking of international football, the shock result of the week was Qatar 1, Switzerland 0. Yeah. And there's been rumours that Qatar have been signing up a lot of young Brazilians. And I think Mohamed Al Neymar got the winner from a cross by Mustafa Pele.
Yeah, that's it.
I believe.
Well, they've done a bit, in the world of athletics, they've been a bit flag of convenience. So you do wonder some sort of young Brazilian boys might be earmarked. You would imagine they may have a slightly different look about
them. Don't mention Zolabad.
No, that's we try not
to. Or Kevin Peterson.
Of course, that was different.
Oh yeah, very different.
It was actually in no way different.
It was exactly the same.
And continue. Yeah, have you heard Tom Curran speak? Yeah. Blimey.
I know. Can't really say anything, can you? Really, still couldn't resist it.
Shaky ground there.
Now, you see that Travel Lodge. This is an amazing survey that they did.
Well, yeah,
it was a sort of thing about bizarre requests, and one of them was
what by people who want to stay there.
No, no, people who are staying.
Oh, people who are staying.
People are staying there, ringing down to the reception and saying, "Excuse
me, can you get me this?
Can you get me this? Can you get me some beluga caviar?
What, in a Travel Lodge?
Flown exactly, flown in from Russia. You think if you can afford beluga caviar to be flown in from Russia, mate, you don't even be staying at the Travel Lodge. But there you go.
Maybe they prefer to spend their money on caviar.
Well, possibly they do. Yeah. And I did like this story. A footballer was sent off for the first time in his 21-year career for basically weeing, as it says here, near the pitch.
Yeah, behind a bush.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's done that playing Sundays, haven't
they? Got a red card. Surely it should have been a yellow.
Yeah. Oh, for goodness sake. But everybody has. I mean, I think this was a directive from the league. Everybody had been told in this league that if players did it. I mean, look, we don't know the circumstances.
Well, he said, I needed a
toilet. There may have been cross swords involved. It may have been some kind of...
He says, I needed the toilet.
Acts of defiance to the referee, mightn't it?
Well, I don't think so. He said, I found a bush about 50 yards away.
Yeah.
I came back and the ref sent me off. Which may not have been the ref's fault. As you say, he might be acting under order sort of thing, but...
Yeah, it might be a Lee Probert situation.
Yes.
I mean, you're in a game and suddenly someone goes to the corner flag and as a wee. I mean, that is a yellow
card. You are the ref.
Yeah. I wonder if they've ever done that one. We should ask Keith Hackett and Paul Trevelyan whether they've... That'd be an odd drawing. I mean, you're in full view, though, of a crowd at a...
No, but obviously
match,
you can't... Yeah. You know, if you go in the bush, you've got to go behind the bush. You can't expose yourself, obviously.
No, of course
you
not, Andy.
You know, but who hasn't... Who's playing? I mean, I know when we used
to... Well, it is technically an offence, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. When we used to play cricket, you know, and you'd be miles away from the pavilion...
You'd
but
do
there'd
it,
be a
you?
Hedge, you know, behind there. You'd go behind the hedge or you go in the trees, wouldn't you? Why not?
Well, we've all done it, haven't we? Well, Ozzy Osbourne did it against the Alamo.
That's probably not ideal.
No, that's right. That didn't go down too well.
Not good. And you see, Chelsea have got a possibility of a two-year transfer ban.
Yeah, that's
honestly,
right.
Honestly, in a way, I feel...
It's over youth, signing youth players, isn't it?
You know, because of financial fair play, Chelsea came up with this thing where they wouldn't rely on Roman Abramovich. They'd basically harvest, that's all it is, players. They'd sign up all these players, develop them, and sell some of them.
Yeah.
And if it hadn't been for FFP, I don't think they would ever have undergone this particular route. Now they're in trouble with it because, you know...
They're not the only ones.
No, they're not. I mean, but the thing is, if you look at Traore, who's the sort of centre of all this, he scored a great goal against Stoke, thanks. And then he got sold for £8 million.
Yeah.
You know, so was it worth it would be my question,
the
really.
The accusation is that they were kind of chasing him from the age of 11, really, and certain incentives.
Know,
but that's
think,
not been proven yet, obviously.
And on the other hand, if they were to get a four-transfer window ban, it might be quite interesting. You might be able to use some of those kids. There might be a bit of a pathway suddenly opening up.
Yeah, it's what the kids they've got, as they couldn't add to the roster,
well,
they'd have to start playing some
of them. And some of them are worth adding to
the roster.
Well,
as we said, there's a few clubs around Europe probably a little bit nervous about what's coming out of WikiLeaks around youth football. It's probably something we'll return to, hopefully, with our mate Mike Calvin at some point on the show. But it's a busy one today because we have discovered a dozen Wayne Rooney-related clips, some of them are presenters chatting about the great man. Some of them are the TalkSport listeners weighing in on his career. But, yeah, we've got a dozen half-decent ones. So we'll bring you those in the normal Clips of the Week slot around 3:30 today. Mike Parry is here. Mike did write seminal work. He is the self-styled official biographer. I think he calls himself the official biographer of Wayne Rooney. But I don't know if Wayne's agent knows that. But it's a fine read. And there's some really interesting stuff in there, really. Really kind of... Some good stuff that Mike will be discussing later on about Wayne Rooney's career. David Squires will join us. He has a new book out, a kind of collection of his best work for The Guardian. He is the king of the football cartoonist.
He's a brilliant artist and a very funny man.
He is.
It's a great combination.
I mean, he's not just drawing them, he's writing them as well. And every week he comes up with top quality material. He's definitely the best out. So we'll be hearing from David. He lives in Oz as well. He keeps in touch with the old zeitgeist over here.
Incredible.
He's right on the money with what's going on. I know everybody's got the internet and all that, but some things just sort of come out of the ether, so he has to work very hard on that. But he'll be explaining how he does it shortly. Roy Walker's in, of course, from Catchphrase. Why did they never do Catchphrase on the radio?
You can't do it.
Okay, Mr. Chips. Oh, Mr. Chips, we could describe it. Play a bit of kind of music, silly music, the way they did. Oh, Mr. Chips has just opened up. his china shop. It's 9 o'clock. Well, who's that coming round the corner? Is it the former Spurs defender, Eunice Cabal? I believe it is. Is he coming in to Mr. Chips? Feel free to buzz in whenever you like. You think you know what the answer is?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, of course, it's Eunice Cabal in a china shop. So we thought we might play sporting catchphrase, Roy. You got about 10, 15 minutes to get those
in. Give us a few,
Give us a couple of brief scenarios, if you can, that are in the catchphrase. And we'll just basically, we'll play. We'll have a game, shall we?
Why not?
Okay, you seem reticent, Andy.
I was thinking of one, actually. I was thinking about former basketball player Alton Bird.
Oh, okay.
And I can't think of it anymore.
Okay. And maybe it involves him playing at Loftus Road.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I'll explain to you.
I'm not very good at catchphrase.
It's in Shepherd's Bush.
I can't even play catchphrase, the one that you watch on telly. I'm definitely not going to be able to do the one on the radio.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Rooney. A message to you, Rooney. A message to you.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. Well, Christmas is almost here and people will be going out and having a couple of drinks. But joining us now to preach moderation in all things and tell us about a link that you may not know about is...
Not the link to that last trail.
No, not the link to that last trail. Comedian, TV host, legend, it is, looking in fine fettle. Roy Walker, good to see you, Roy.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for bringing me on the programme.
You're looking great. You're looking very well. That's We're nearly good. 80,
it's
you
a
tell
drink.
Us.
It's a, oh, no,
it's a drink. Now, let's put the serious face on first because...
Okay, hold on.
We've our good friends at Drinkaware, we did some work with early last year when we worked with the app, and that was a sobering exercise, wasn't it, when we realised what we were consuming every week. They just want to draw people's attention to the link between alcohol and heart problems at this time of year, don't they?
Apparently it's pretty bad, yeah. 160,000 men and women are dying every year with drink-related heart problems.
So, look, go and have a good time, but just think about that. Give it some thought.
What's the oldest catchphrase in the world? Everything in moderation.
Yeah, that's very, very true. So, 70% of people drinking, increasing higher risk levels, are aware of the link, but continue to drink at these levels, even though they know it's not good for them.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because the trouble with it is you have a drink, and then you're weak, you know, your sort of resistance is weakened
that's
by that
trouble.
Drink, and then you know, it sort of feeds into itself. So it's not easy.
It gets your blood pressure up. I don't want to. Happy Christmas, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
But seriously, that's the great thing about the old Drink Aware app and that experience with it. Just makes you just check now and again and think, I better be careful.
It's wonderful you saying that, just check, because I drink wine every night.
Yeah.
And I often had that little thought, am I a part-time alcoholic? Because I really enjoy this every night. And it's amazing how nice it is. Every sort of TV programme you see, somebody comes in from the office or from the police or something, they get a bottle of wine out and share a bottle of wine with their friends. I was one of those people. Still am. But you've got to understand what it's doing to you. You only allowed so many units, so it starts affecting your health.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it till I did that programme.
And the nature of your business as well, on the road, doing gigs around the country and stuff, and you probably have a pint or a glass of wine after the show. You can't sleep, so because the old adrenaline's pumping and stuff. I mean, it was kind of part of the circuit from your point of view, wasn't it?
Well, right? It's amazing you say that, because if I'm working, I don't drink that day at all or that night.
Hmm.
When I finish, the laughter's enough for me.
Interesting.
That sounds like corny out there. But I actually go to bed and lie there in the bed and going over everything I said and did. Because if you did anything new, that's the time you got to remember it and write it down. You know, you're ad-libbing all the time. So I don't really have any alcohol. But I look forward to the next night when I can enjoy the compliments that you get during the day or whatever, and a glass of nice wine.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's so nice.
Yeah.
You want it every night.
That's true.
I find out the secret is to have a couple of nights off. If you can do that, you're on a winner.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That is the message from our good friends at Drinkaware, certainly. And you can go and check out that Monitor 2018 analysis to find out more. Roy, you're still busy, aren't you? You're still keeping busy.
Very busy, touch wood, thank God. Still getting away with it.
You're telling us you used to do do a few of the cruises and enjoy
doing
those?
I'm still doing them, yeah.
Yeah,
the best job I've ever had in my life. I mean, you have a suite of rooms, the best food, well paid. And the audiences did, and the theatres that you work in, it's just like in the old days. You know, when they had theatres in London, we used to have variety shows.
Is it jokes or is it some of it, some of the tales from the catchphrase years and stuff like that?
A bit of both. Yeah. But I love to talk about the old comedians.
Yeah.
You know, what they did for a living. They're all working class, you know. There's no working class comedians.
You mean the comedians from the comedians, that show?
Yeah. To be a comedian today, you need an education.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go to university.
There was great guys on there that probably wouldn't have seen. There was a TV, if the kids are listening, there was a TV show called The Comedians. It was half an hour of comedians of that era just telling jokes, and Roy was among them.
Yeah.
I remember there was a guy called George Roper, who was a fantastic comic.
Yeah, one-line comic. Yeah,
very, very funny man.
Yeah.
Frank Carson.
Yeah, that's right.
So many from Liverpool.
Yeah.
I mean, the list is endless, the comedians that come out of Liverpool over the years and what have you. Lots of from Ireland, from Northern Ireland, especially Frank. I never met anyone as funny as Frank Carson. Yeah. I mean,
he was never off, was he? Really,
never
Frank?
Off. No, they did This Is Your Life on me 18 years ago, and Frank Carson, George Roper, and Bernard Manning were the three guests.
Right.
I mean, they said it was the best This Is Your Life ever. These three guys going at each other for an hour.
Probably about a 5-hour record, was it?
Yeah.
John edit that.
I forget the name of the guy that used to host it.
Michael Aspel
took it on, yeah.
So Frank took the book off him and he went, go on, sit in the audience over there. I'll host it. And he just made it up. He never read anything from the book.
Yeah.
So what did you do next then?
Now,
and Bernard would be chipping away at him with jokes.
You're going to weigh in on this hashtag people's vote because you think a fellow Irish comedian of yours may have the answer, really, with Jimmy Cricket.
Jimmy Cricket has the answer to all the problems today. I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
It's the left and right welly, you know. He's changed it to leave or remain.
Right.
You know? So in Ireland, he's got a foot in each camp.
He has. He's just kind of been a bit Trevor Brooking. He's just sitting on the fence. Have you watched them? It's back, of course, Catchphrase, isn't it? It's on the telly.
Oh, it's been back for some time.
Yeah, yeah. Have you
seen? The format's so strong. I mean, I watch it. We love it.
And stands up.
Stephen Mulhern does a good job, I think.
Excellent. I was at Edinburgh a few weeks ago. They asked me because all the heads of TV have a couple of days up in Edinburgh at the end of the festival. Mm. And Stephen was so busy that he couldn't do it. He was filming down in Bournemouth. So they asked me, would I host it?
Nice one.
It's 18 years since I hosted it, you know. Mm. So up I go. Well, the technology nowadays, fellas. I mean, they used to hand you wee bits of paper with catchphrases on it.
Yeah.
Now there's monitors all over the place, you know. And, somebody in your ear telling you the answers. Well, we had the time of our lives. In so much as I was able to sell them an idea for a game show that I've invented with a guy called Graham Williams, who was my producer on Catchphrase and Blockbusters and Spitting Image, Graham C. Williams. So the two of us are in talks with different TV companies.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, well. You went up there pitching ideas.
Stephen Mulhern not being able to do it.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're listening, Stephen, you should have heard the introduction he gave me. It was unbelievable. Wow. You'd have thought I wrote it.
You have to send him a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Now, we thought
no wine, no.
No, not wine, just half a bottle. It's half a bottle. One of the now Catchphrase, you would have thought would never have worked on the radio.
Yeah.
Because it was quite reliant on Mr. Chips. What I said earlier on, you can imagine, we know a little bit of music. Mr. Chips opening his China shop, of course. And who should come around the corner but the former Spurs defender, Yunus Kabul? What could. And he looks like he's coming in to say what you see. So the listeners have weighed in, Roy. Air Horse says Wayne Bridge hurdling an anguished Jonathan Waters. That was, of course.
Yeah, that would work.
It's Bridge over troubled water.
Yeah, Bridge over troubled water.
Yeah. And Martin says Joe Hart is just sitting in his house.
Home is where the heart is, of course.
That's right. Is that Mr. Chips going pheasant shooting with a Manchester City defender? They've just shot two pheasants. Killing two birds with John Stones. That's from Michael. That's very good. And Alan says, David Hay and his family were sat on a sofa sewing. The sofa broke and they all fell on top of each other, dropping the sewing implements that couldn't be seen. A friend was called in to find
A needle in a haystack.
I like the top one. Lewis Cook and Steve Cook are in the AFC Bournemouth canteen making a right old mess of cooking the team lunch.
Too many cooks, of course, a case of spoiling the broth. So they could have worked as radio.
It was Chris Moyles that that introduced it. He was a wee bit peed off that I had finished with Catchphrase. Yeah, 1990.
Wow, that's when it was 2000.
So he decided to do car bar catchphrase, which was supposed to last a month. Do you know how long it lasted? Yeah. 9 years.
Really?
The Comedy Dave got brilliant at it, you know, right now, the catchphrase. And, of course, the interview where Comedy Dave invented me shows I was a man of my age and who wanted to hang out with them, and they never wanted to hang out with me. I'd come in the next morning, what did you do last night, Roy? Well, Madge and I went for a drink. Madge? What, Madge who? Madonna. Oh. You know Madonna? Yeah, I write all her hits. So they would get me to sing all her hits in a falsetto.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it must have been good.
So the guys that listened to the Chris Moyles show just loved it. It lasted 9 years. It was the best fun I ever had.
Brilliant. So, football-wise, Roy, are you watching the football still?
Yeah, still watching the football. But I'll be dead keen to see Rooney tonight. I don't know what the fuss is about. We should honour him. He's been a terrific example for playing for England and for Manchester United, winning all those trophies, winning all those honours, scoring all those goals.
Yeah, we've got to applaud him.
He
was great to watch, that's true. I'm sure now it's here, we'll all get right behind him. Look, lovely to see you.
Delighted to see you guys.
As always, a pleasure. So keep in touch. And just remind, what Roy was telling you earlier on, moderation in all things, that's the number one catchphrase. Over Christmas with our good friends at Drinkaway. All the best.
Take a day off the drink.
Take a day off the drink. I'll do my best. We'll put this to Alan Brazil tomorrow morning. See what he says.
Say what you say. It's good, but it's not right, is what he's going to say.
That's exactly what he'll say. Cheers, Roy. All the best.
Cheers, and to you. And to all your listeners.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on Talk Sport. It is Wayne Rooney Day here at the station, and it wouldn't be complete unless we spoke to Wayne's official biographer.
One of them.
His seminal work, Rooney Tunes, still available, 45p plus P&P. Yeah. All that work you put, 45p,
well,
Mike.
I'll tell you what happened, seriously. I mean, I did this book with my old pal, John Blake, okay, because John Blake published loads of books like this, and some of them took off enormously. And although, you know, I'm not making excuses, this book had really, really high hopes in the publishing market, and John was very thrilled about it because it was right before the 2006 World Cup.
Yeah.
But the minute Rooney got injured, interest in the book just disappeared.
Wow.
Honestly, was it at Chelsea when he broke
the metatarsal?
The metatarsal. The minute that happened, I froze with fear, not so much because I thought England now have got a lesser chance in the World Cup, but my book was going to crash. And it did. It crashed, I'm afraid. It just did. Because what happened was, where you get your sales on the books, as you guys probably know, is your pre-orders.
Yeah.
And the minute that there was a doubt that Wayne Rooney was going to play in the World Cup, all the pre-orders just disappeared. So I'm afraid it didn't become a number one bestseller on the Sunday Times book list, as my previous one about Alan Brazil did.
Well, of course.
But that's life.
Not only is Wayne Rooney as a player you love as an Evertonian,
yes.
Chapter one of the book is entitled Wayne Rooney Saved My Life.
That's right, yes, he did, yeah. I mean, what happened was I was in hospital with acute heart failure, and if you ask some of my colleagues like Mr. Brazil, Mr. Graham, they'll say there's nothing wrong with you because you're still here.
It's indigestion.
But, yeah, that's right, yeah. But I was given 36 hours to live at one point, you know. Mm. And it's not a joke to say that a lot of recovery from that sort of situation is all on how much you want to recover and mental strength and mind over matter. And a motorbike arrived with an outrider, and a package came in, and it was a shirt signed by Wayne Rooney, and it said, "To Mike, get well soon, Wayne Rooney." I'd never met the guy, you know. Yeah. I barely knew of him. Yeah. I mean, I knew him obviously, but I mean, I didn't know his whereabouts and all that. And somebody had told him that I was ill and all that, and he sent me a shirt. And the doctors actually said, I've read it in the book, from that moment on, I seemed to get an awful lot better, you know.
Wow.
But, well, he was my football hero. I mean, people have accused me of being obsessed about Wayne Rooney, but when you've been an Evertonian all my life, when you boys have supported your teams all your life, and a force of nature comes along, you know, teachers at his school used to stop teaching when Wayne was playing outside, go to the window and watch him, and all this kind of stuff. And he was a phenomenon. We knew he was a phenomenon. And remember, I had seen him at the European Championships and came home from the European Championships only when Wayne Rooney went out. And that's another reason why Wayne Rooney saved my life, because if Wayne Rooney hadn't broken his metatarsal, I was determined to stay to the end of the competition. As it was, I had to be carried on the plane and carried off at the other end to get home because I was so desperately ill.
Wow.
There was so much fluid in my lungs, in my body, I could barely breathe. And if Wayne had taken us through to the final and won it, which I'd have loved, who knows what would have happened?
Just a fickle finger of fate.
Yes. Isn't
it? Thank goodness we went out the tournament.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, it was fearsome watching him in that tournament because he announced himself on the world stage in the most spectacular fashion.
Hmm. Yeah, we remember. I always admired the fact that when he joined Manchester United, you never turned against him. You were always his biggest supporter, his biggest fan.
Yeah.
You must have been delighted when he came back to the club.
Well, I had mixed feelings about him coming back because I thought, you see, a few weeks ago I got into a terrible Twitter spat when I described him as one of the three greatest Everton players ever. And people said, what about, you know, Brian Lebone? You know, what about Neville Southall? Mm. What about, you know, all these great players who won titles in the 80s? But my point was that if you were an Evertonian when Wayne Rooney was between 16 and 18 and he was playing in a blue shirt at Goodison Park and you were travelling around the country to watch him rip defences to pieces, the impact he had was greater. He was one of the top three players impactfully on fans in the history of Everton Football Club. It was like watching Dixie Dean because of his sheer brilliance. That's the point I tried to make, but I didn't make it too well. But he was like a religion almost. I mean, here he was. I all remember the goal he scored against Arsenal, obviously. Goes to Wrexham in the League Cup game, scores two goals that night, you know, and he just sprinted past defenders like they weren't there. And the feeling about having him in our club was so enormous. Mm. You didn't care about your mortgage. You know, you didn't care about an overdraft. You didn't care about you falling out with your wife or your girlfriend. It didn't matter because Wayne Rooney was playing for Everton.
I mean, there was that old thing of him, you know, the once a blue, always a blue thing. But and it did come back to haunt him a bit. But look, you know, there's two sides of it. Although it hurts us as fans, there's the professional face. And there's because he stayed in Evertonian. His kids are still Evertonians, aren't they? Even though he went and played
Manchester United. I admired him so much for what he did when he went to Manchester United. I've always been against this idea that when a player moves from his first club to his second club, he doesn't want to celebrate goals against his first club. Sorry. You are being paid the wages now by fans who support you at your new club. Therefore, you celebrate everything you get. Now, when Wayne Rooney went to Manchester United and came back to Everton the first time, he had to make it absolutely clear to Manchester United and their fans of his professional status, I'm a Manchester United player. And he kissed the badge, when he scored his first goal back at Goodison Park. I didn't dislike him for that. I didn't hate him for that. I thought, what a professional man he is. Because if you knew Wayne Rooney, and I used to meet his dad, Wayne Rooney Sr., who's this spitting image of Wayne Rooney, in a pub across the road from Goodison after games in those days, you knew just what an Everton family they were. You knew, I mean, on the night he scored those three goals for Manchester United on his debut for Manchester United, his dad wasn't there watching him. His dad was at Goodison Park. Everton were playing that night. I mean, that's how much an Everton family they were. And I knew he was Everton through and through.
Yeah.
But he was a professional footballer. And I actually admired him for nailing his colours to the Manchester United mast.
Now, it's a great table in the book, actually.
Yeah.
Because here he is at 33, still playing a pretty decent standard over in the States, still carrying a team. He took a team from the bottom of the table to the playoffs, for goodness sake.
Fantastic.
He did amazing.
Yeah.
With a couple of real kind of virtuoso performances. But your table, how Rooney's achievements age 20 compare?
Yes.
By the age of 20, he had 26 caps and had scored 10 goals. Mm. Pelé had 23 caps and scored, okay, he scored more goals, but, you know, Pelé.
But in,
some
but
of those in
Brazil.
The playground. Yeah. Some of those in the playground.
Yeah.
Tennis
but,
ball.
But that's, I mean, here he is at 33. Yes. I mean, he started at the top level at such a young age.
That's right.
It's amazing he's lasted this long, really.
Yeah, it is amazing he's lasted this long. When you say about Washington, D.C., isn't the best we've seen of Rooney in that game in D.C., when, first of all, he chases back, he dispossesses a winger like he's a fullback, he pulls the ball back, he races down the right wing, he puts in a absolutely, you know, on a sixpence cross to his forward, who nods it in, scores a goal, win the game. That's Rooney all over.
Yeah.
Never say die. You've never seen anything less than 157% effort in Wayne Rooney, anything he's ever done, you know. And you're absolutely right. How he hasn't run out of steam by now, I've no idea.
Now, we should say, you've brought us in a something quite special.
Look at this. Well, a couple of football boots.
Look, you can get boots and you can get boots signed by players, OK? And Theo Walcott, for instance, very good whenever I ask if we can have some boots to auction for charity. And they'll send you a pair of boots. And it's very kind of him. And a lot of other footballers do it. John Terry's done it for me. But these boots came out of the Everton boot room.
Yeah.
And to prove that, if I show you the sole underneath, it says Rooney 18, WR. That was his number, that was his shirt.
Yeah.
And they're generally his boots, which he signed and then auctioned. And I paid like $2,500 for them.
Right.
And the auction was organised by McDonald's. In the early part of his career, Wayne had to deal with McDonald's. I also got his first England shirt, but I have to be absolutely honest about it. His first England shirt isn't the one he played in that night. England players get three shirts.
Right.
And he signed and had framed one of those three shirts. And again, I bought that at auction. That was about $2,500 as well. Just because I wanted to say that's Wayne Rooney's shirt when people come into my house, you know, on his first shirt.
What size boots does he wear? You have a look, Andy. You're trying to look. Well, they look like,
I couldn't
they look
see
quite
the
big. I mean, he's he's a taller man than you think, actually,
I don't
Wayne.
Even know. They've got all sorts of funny sizes.
Size nine,
can I say that, because we're not mere mortals, often the boots are made to the size of the player's foot.
Yeah.
They don't have a boot size in them. They wrap them and encase them in.
They could be.
In case of in plaster of Paris and all that kind of stuff, and then they get all the measurements, go away, and they stitch them up for
they
you.
They look like about sort of an eight or something.
Yeah, about
they?
Eight or nine, I would say, something like that.
I remember.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was it might have been the European Championships because you were covering them for TalkSport, and you were over there and you were staying in the hotel, and you interviewed the concierge. It's a wonderful moment.
I think it was a quiet day. A few of the guests, guests hadn't turned up.
Yes,
and he didn't really speak much English, and you said to him, who will be the player of the tournament?
Mm.
And then you didn't really know, and you said, Wayne Rooney. He went, Wayne Rooney?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, in fact, he was. I actually got that one right.
The waiter knew. Now, this book, the book is dedicated to the memory of William Ralph Dean, of course, Dixie Dean, we get that, Mike.
Yeah.
And Rear Admiral Sir Horatio Nelson.
I know,
that's an odd. Did they play out front for Everton?
Well, no. But as you know, I live down on the coast, and I can see HMS Victory from my balcony.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, what I was trying to sort of point out was, in my estimation, when I wrote this book, Wayne Rooney was as great an Englishman as Lord Nelson.
Right.
And and I made the comparison. The other things that I do to try and let people know, you know, what I think of Rooney was, I go and buy number plates, you know, for my car.
Look at
I went and bought this plate, which is R10 ONY, because it was the closest you get to Rooney.
Yeah.
Trouble was, people thought I was Rio Ferdinand, not Rooney. But anyway, the same company I bought it off gave me a call about 6 months later, and they said, we've got another one to come on the market.
Wow.
And that was
That's pretty good.
999 NEY Rooney. Now, this is the one that came, but what I did was I enlarged the circle of the number nine.
You're allowed to do that, Michael?
No. I enlarged the circle of the number nine and I shortened the tail.
Yeah.
So the one that I tried to put on my car until I was told to take it off does look like Rooney with three O's. You know
wow.
what I mean? But,
they weren't cheap, were they, Mike, those number plates?
The first one. It was about 1850.
Wow.
And this one I...
So if Rio Ferdinand's listening, wants another number plate for his car,
it's
he should
here.
Have a...
It's,
you
here,
have,
Rio.
It's yours, Rio, for 1,500 quid.
Yeah, and the second one was about 2.5 grand. But I've had an offer for that of about 4.5 grand.
Wow. Not from Wayne.
Not from Wayne, obviously. Because
is he... I mean, look, I've only met him briefly once. Yeah. Is it? You've met him a lot of times. Nice lad?
No, I've never spoken to Wayne
really?
Rooney. Really? I've never spoken to Wayne Rooney.
Maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe it is a good thing. The closest I got to speaking to Wayne was on an occasion when he played for Manchester United. Everton were in the sixth round of the Cup at Goodison. United were already out of the Cup. And the lounge I was in, there was a bloke sitting over in the corner with a hoodie over his head, just minding his own business. And he was Wayne Rooney. And I walked straight past him twice. But and he was with Alan Stubbs. Stubbsy, you know, Stubbsy. Hey, Stubbsy. Stubbsy. Yeah. Hey, how's that? Look at that flat in that window there, Stubbsy. A million knicker. People are paying a million knicker to live in an house in London.
That was that famous moment, wasn't it? When they had a look in the old estate agent's window on the King's Road and they got moved on.
They great. They locked the doors and called the police. Two scouts outside in tracksuits.
So bad. Typical Chelsea ending.
One of the reasons I haven't spoke to him is because, as you just pointed out, that we've cut all sorts of tournaments over the years. But I was never actually the football reporter. I didn't go to the press conferences. I was the guy. I was doing shows out there every day, and I was going around with the fans. You know what I mean? Largely my job was to go with the England fans and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I saw him loads of times in the hotels and all that kind of stuff. But I was a bit awestruck about talking
in awe.
To him.
You're in awe. That's it.
Well, not that, but I'd have felt a bit silly just to go out and say hi, Wayne. I am. On one occasion, I was at Old Trafford, and I don't know why, I'd been in a promotional thing, and I ended up sitting next to Ryan Giggs in a suit because Ryan Giggs was injured and couldn't play.
Were you in a suit or Ryan Giggs in a suit?
Ryan Giggs was in a suit. He was in civvies, if you see what I mean.
And
we just got chatting, and he said, are you that Mike Parry from Talks? I said, yeah, oh, right, yeah, yeah. Waz has told us about you. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, he thinks you're a bit of a loony.
Maybe it's best you don't meet. Mike, lovely to see you.
Fantastic, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very
Rooney
much.
Tunes, Mike's book, still as relevant today as it was then, is available. You can find a copy if you hunt it down for under 50p. You'll have to pay the postage and packing, but Mike put all the work in, so at least you can do. Because of Wayne's metatarsal, it didn't sell at the time. Let's get it back in the top 10 list.
Yes, please.
Cheers, Mike. Thanks very
Thanks
much.
Thanks very much, fellas.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
So, Andy, what else have you noticed today?
There's a letter about Wayne in the Sun today. Honestly, people are very mean-spirited. Steve Stockton.
People?
Well, they are.
Okay, yeah.
Steve Stockton of
you
Folkestone.
Are.
I'm not. Steve Stockton of Folkestone in Kent.
Not Steve Folkestone of Stockton.
Steve Folkestone of Stockton.
Yeah.
Said, what a fiasco bringing back Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
If he wants money for his charity, he should take it out of his bank account. He has enough.
Nice.
That's a sound of bitter,
made it sound like a foul poem by Dave
letter,
Gorman.
Honestly. You know, how do you know that he doesn't do that? How do you know what
he does? I think
he
does.
I'm sure he absolutely does. I'm sure he contributes a lot more than you do.
Can I offer a public service to people that may not have read any email they've had if they're going to Wembley tonight? Are you aware, TalkSport listener? This doesn't... I mean, in light of what's going on in the world, it's not that important. But I'm just trying to save you some hassle. Are you aware of Wembley's new bag policy? Because if you're going straight from work, as many people do, to Wembley tonight, you'll have your backpack on, you might have your laptop in it and have all the assorted stuff you need for work tomorrow. Well, you can't get it in. From tonight, a bag no bigger than an A4 piece of paper. And really, there's not many backpacks that size. Not that big. A handbag, effectively. Or a bum bag or a little man bag.
Yeah.
But not something you're not going to get your laptop in, really. They are banned. You can't take them in. There's no lockers. There's nowhere to put them. So if you're looking for a little business opportunity in the Wembley area, set up a little temporary locker store.
Mobile cloakroom.
On a match night. Because I think a lot of people are going to get caught out by this. And basically, there's no entry. You're going to have to leave your bag. I mean, you can't leave it. You look after this, mate. I'll give you a fiver. Look
what
after your bag.
You just can't go to the match.
You can't go to the match. So just be very careful. There's no... Well, look, I understand it's a security thing. They don't want people taking in big bags. I appreciate that.
It must be written on the ticket, because if it isn't, then surely you could sue them for saying it wasn't on the ticket.
I think it is on the ticket. They've made it very clear.
If they've made it very clear, then you shouldn't take a bag.
Well, I know, but the practicality of that, Andy. For example, if you are someone who's got to go to work, then you've got nowhere else you can leave it. As I said, look.
Leave it at work.
You can do that, but not everybody can do that. And I'm just saying, why not have... what they've been doing so far is having a couple of channels that is there for bag checking, and they're longer. So if you are going to take a bag, just say, look, you do realise if you bring a bag, it's going to take you a whole lot longer.
A lot of the bag checks at football are very cursory, though.
Well, they weren't at Wembley. You get properly worked over. Yeah, they know what they're doing. They do it properly. So it does take a long time. But anyway, I'm sure it's going to be the same thing with Spurs at Wembley as well, so no one can take bags. But
as long as you know what it is. I mean, remember in Russia, it was unbelievable, wasn't it? It was about four or five different checkpoints before you get into the stadium.
Yeah.
And you had to go through.
They moved it pretty quickly, though.
Yeah, no, but, you know, as long as you know it's there and you've allowed time for it's fine. Hmm. Another mad letter written to Brian Smart in East Sussex. He said, after obvious officiating mistakes in the Premier League, it's obvious there should be four linesmen, two referees and a return to the old offside rule. It wouldn't. That would stop a lot of decisions about whether a player is offside and interfering with play or not. It wouldn't help anything. You just get people disagreeing with each other. You'd have one linesman flagging on one side of the pitch and the other bloke keeping his flag down.
Yeah.
Why are people so allergic to VAR? It's coming in anyway.
Well, it is. That wasn't a massive shot. We heard this afternoon, as Toby was telling you, it's going to come in at the start of next season. There's quite a bit of stuff coming out of this Premier League meeting. Obviously, as we've been hearing, Richard Scudamore's £5 million over 3 years will be paid so he doesn't go off and form his own Premier League elsewhere.
He's not going to
help,
do that.
Or help any
I
other
think
rival
it's
Premier
League. It's so wrong, this. It's just... There's a kind of arrogance about them. They see all this information, people like Henry Winter writing, and their football supporters, and saying this is
a real
slap in the face of people, and they just carry on and do it. It's like no one said anything. You think, could you be a bit more arrogant? I mean, the bloke's been paid an absolute fortune. He's probably got a fantastic pension.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't get this. I mean, you know, right, if he wants to be a consultant, fine. But, you know, I'm not sure that's a consultant's fee. That sounds a bit more, you know, more than you'd pay.
Well, we often see him on the train when we go to the Cheltenham Festival, Richard Scudamore.
Yeah, I'll have a word with him.
So we might send off the payoff. He might send us down a couple of beers. Who knows? Off the trolley.
It's very unlikely.
Look after the boys down in the next carriage.
Especially after that bit I've just done.
Yeah, exactly. But you won't be getting anything free.
Look, he's been fantastic. Who could argue? He's been brilliant for the Premier League. He's very, very smart guy, smart operator, and we all enjoy the fruits of what he's done. But, you know, the idea that somehow the Premier League wouldn't be the Premier League without him, it's, you know, there's a lot of factors. It's not just Richard Scudamore.
In his defence, he was a bit embarrassed by the whole thing and shocked and embarrassed it had come out on the day it had it's kind of slightly overshadowed the announcement.
You know, if they want to keep him on as a consultant, then just pay him from a year-to-year basis. Yeah. They don't have to announce they're going to give him £5 million.
I mean, it seems the reports, that it seems all the Premier League chairmen were on side with this, all thought it was a good idea from the reports that are coming out of the meeting.
But they thought it was a good idea not to have VAR this year, and look how that worked out.
Well, I think, let's be honest, Andy, you were saying that before. You were saying that before the start of the season. I did not say it.
As soon as the World Cup and it worked, I went, they've got to bring it in this season. And if they don't, they're going to get a lot
of people. You were for delaying it before the World Cup.
Yeah, but once we saw it, no, I was delaying it until I saw how it worked in the World Cup. It's a different thing. And it worked brilliantly, so therefore I would have brought it in.
Well, it worked pretty well. I mean, I think we came away from that World Cup saying, well, it didn't in the final, did it?
No, you're always going to get, it's never going to be perfect. But when I say it worked very well, what I mean was, it was the best World Cup for years.
Do you think that was the only reason why?
A very big part of it. Well, there were 53 goals from set plays. I'd say that was a big part of it. The fact that the defenders knew that if they hold somebody by the shirt and pull them down in the box, they were likely to give away a penalty.
When Chelsea gets sawn off from a corner for holding, I think the bootmate, that was never a penalty.
That happens in, I told you that VAR will change the narrative of football. It will do that because you will have to accept the decisions. And so, you know, once you see it, there's nothing you can do about it. But there will be controversy. Of course there will. There's going to be, if you make it that it's not only about line decisions, then you're always going to, because it's just somebody's opinion. Mm. Was it handball? Was it not handball? You know, offside, there is no doubt about that.
No, we'll have to see what happens anyway. It's coming in next year. We've had another example, haven't we, of course, of a player going overseas or speaking to the press, or rather getting his brother and his agent, or his brother or his agent speaking to the press, Marko Arnautović, saying things like, yeah, I think he's ready to move on to the next level now.
West Ham fans are delighted.
And that does allow the player to come back and say, well, that was my brother. He was speaking out of turn. He was misquoted.
Yeah, of course.
He never said that.
Have you seen the Queen's ex-chef has written a book?
Oh, really?
And he's given away some of the royal
what
secrets.
She likes to eat.
Well, apparently...
What does she like? Sort of potato smileys, beans, a complete kid's menu.
Well, the only thing they've gone on, really, is that the fact that she eats bananas with a fork.
Does she?
Yeah, apparently.
I don't think I've ever eaten a banana with a fork.
Yeah, a knife and fork, I think.
A knife and fork?
She peels it, then puts it out, and then she just...
Then she cuts
it with a knife and fork.
That's breeding, isn't it, Andy?
Well, I suppose it is, really, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't. Just shove it in, don't you?
Yeah, marvellous.
Absolutely, why not?
So, but it's not very interesting. I mean, it's quite interesting, but it would be more interesting if she had a complete... the diet of a sort of five-year-old. Nuggets.
Yeah.
Smiley faces and beans constantly. She could be on Freaky Eaters, that old show. She's addicted to
chips. She likes a sub. Can you imagine?
I can't see her eating that. She wouldn't be a Subway fan. That's for kids. They're basically created for kids. Kids' taste buds, I think that's what it is. She wouldn't be in Subway.
I was looking at what she was up to yesterday, and she met somebody called Mrs. Burma Batbold.
Burma Batbold.
She's obviously a T20 player.
Yeah.
There you go. And the Duke of Norfolk, this was in the Times diary.
Yeah.
He used his
Who
butler.
Is the Duke of Norfolk these days?
It's a very good question.
Yeah, okay.
You mean, what does he look like, rather than it's a hereditary
role?
It's not the original Duke of Norfolk.
I know it's not the original. He'd be dead by now.
He would be, yeah.
Yeah.
It's his relative.
It's not Thomas Howard.
Anyway.
Yeah.
He used his butler as an umpire. He was playing cricket.
Yeah.
And he was struck on the pads, clearly leg before. It was a loud appeal. And if eager to balance feudal loyalty with sporting duty, the butler austerely replied, "His Grace is not in."
Oh, really?
Yes.
He has left to go. It's a bloke, the current Duke of Norfolk, for everybody out there who wants to know. What's his name? I've just lost it now. Who is the current Duke of Norfolk? Oh, it is Thomas de Mowbray.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Or is it?
Is it?
No, that was the first holder. This is Edward Fitzalan Howard.
Yeah, because they've always got to be that family. They can't be like another family. It can't be.
Of course, it's going to be that. Yeah.
It's not an elected role. Duke of Norfolk.
They were some of those Howards early doors. They were a piece of work. But this is not the format or the place to do that. So we move on, and we've got live commentary of Arsenal. We've got live commentary of England versus the USA from 7 o'clock tonight with Mark Saggers. And we're going to be joined by Jeff Thomas shortly. Andy Jacobs is going to sing again, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I am, yeah.
What are you going to sing again?
I don't know which one is it. We don't. Should we do the new one?
Let's do Kenny Rogers. A little Wayne Rooney ditty from the archives. We will bringing you some clips, best of Wayne Rooney clips, in around 15 minutes' time.
You fattened up your hips and snipped and trimmed your crop hair.
What? Arthur Strong.
Rooney, are you contemplating kicking him in the air?
Not even bothered to use the karaoke version.
I did for the next
singing
one.
Over Kenny.
The dressing room wall tells me your son is going down.
Me and Kenny, we're good, aren't we, together?
No.
Oh, Rooney.
Oh, key change.
Rooney.
Oh, no, it isn't.
Don't make Colts fan frown.
Cartoon country. Yeah, Andy, we used to do quite a lot of those, didn't you? But I made you stop.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon. The Daisy Gray one is still a corker, isn't it?
Brilliant.
And Sir Bobby Charlton. What a payoff. Okay, regular clips of the week back tomorrow. Motti's back as well, for the Falls panel at least. Live from Cheltenham, where he's off racing. But we will catch up with you tomorrow. Have a fine evening. Enjoy the match.
Hanging around, nothing to do but frown. Rooney days, Mondays always get me down.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.